I'm going to read again John 10, verses 26 through 29, picking up on a thought that I shared last week that I think is significant. And it's found in verse 28. But in verse 26, it says, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This passage of Scripture is not dealing with whether or not you can be saved or not. This is talking about those that are already saved and whether they can be considered sheep or not. The word believe in verse 26 is in the present tense. And it says, "Ye believe not because you're not of my sheep." In other words, believing in the present tense is having the spirit of faith, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, "We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." Now, both of those are in the aorist tense. The point is this, we get started some at one point in our life. But Paul says, "We also believe," present active, "and therefore we speak," present active. In other words, we believe the truth, and then we begin to live the truth, and to speak the truth, and to put our confidence in the truth. That's the spirit of faith, the spirit of confidence. And what God has said is so, and that we can count on it. We can live by it. And God is not a man that would change his mind, nor is he a man that would lie. But what he has said he will do, and what he has spoken, he'll make it good. Now that's the the thing that we ought to get out of that is this. When he says he'll make it good, that doesn't mean in the next 15 seconds of the next, 15 minutes. He'll make it good in his time, not our time. So, we're talking to sheep here. Who are his sheep? Well, we studied last week, the sheep are those that are of his fold. But I want us to look in John chapter 6, where it talks about those that believe. And in John 6, 63 through 64, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." In other words, they are the spirit of truth, and they do provide us with life, those that will hear it. But there are some of you that believe not, present in the present tense. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed, present active, not, and who would be, and who should betray him. So here he's talking about those that will hear the word, and the word, by the way, words is the word rhema, which is spoken word. And the spoken word does provide his quickening, and it also provides life. So what I'm focusing on here is this. This is the spoken word. And that's what Jesus was doing to his disciples. He was speaking to them. In verse 59, and by the way, he knows who's going to believe in the present tense and who isn't. Who's going to be faithful and steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, and who isn't. He knows who are the brethren. He also knows those that are saved and are not brethren. Brethren are those who are seeking to do the will of the Father. There are those that are saved that can't do certain things. They're hindered in doing certain things. So, now, in John 6, 59 through 61, it says, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. In other words, here's Jesus teaching. He's teaching about the bread and the fruit of the vine. He's speaking about his body and the blood of his blood, eating and drinking his blood and eating his body. So he was teaching. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear?" Present active. "My sheep hear my voice." And here are some of his disciples who are saying, "Who can hear this? We're not going to listen to this anymore." Because that's what the present tense means. I'm going to quit listening to what you have to teach. We can't hack it. It's too tough, too hard. When Jesus knew it in himself, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" In other words, what happens when you become offended is you stop listening. You stop hearing. And he asked his disciples, they were murmuring, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" And then in verse 66 and 68 through 68, it says that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. When you stop walking with the Lord, you know what you've done? You quit following him. You're just like a blind man. And in this case, this is like a blind man who's deaf. He doesn't want to hear it, and he doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to follow. And so, he says, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the spoken words of eternal life." You know, I know that there are books written all over the place. There's tons of books out there. You know what? It's through the foolishness of preaching that this truth is really established. I'm for writing, and I do write some stuff, you know. But the point is this. It's the foolishness of preaching that encourages people. I don't understand it. The Lord knew that it was necessary, and so we do it. Now, he says, "You have the spoken words of age-lasting or kingdom life." Where are we going to go? You're the only one that's got what we need. Now, sheep don't go away. That's the thing that we want to get on here is this. In verse 27 of John 10, he says, "My sheep hear," present active, "my voice." And his voice is speaking what? Words pertaining to the coming kingdom. Age-lasting life. Peter says, "You are the only one I know that has words that have to do with the coming kingdom, age-lasting life. Where are we going to go?" Well, I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people that are going to a lot of different places, particularly make sure they're not where kingdom truth is taught. But anyway, and Jesus continues here, "I know them, and they follow me." They don't go away. They're not going to go away. They're going to stay. To me, that's important. Even if you don't understand everything that you hear from me, the important thing is sticking with it. Giving the Holy Spirit time to teach you. That's the whole issue. There's people that come here, they hear one message, and they leave. They may come to hear two messages and they're gone. And they don't give the Holy Spirit any time to open anything up to them. They just haven't heard that before, so it must be wrong. Bye. Anyway, Jesus ministered the word of age-lasting life. And we find that in verse 28. We talked about it last week when it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, the point that I have made before from this pulpit is this. In fact, the Scriptures teach it very plainly. We are children of God, but age-lasting life is not received until the millennial reign of Christ. We receive age-lasting life in the age, the one coming. Find that in Mark chapter 14 and other places. So when it says that Jesus is giving eternal life unto the sheep, it doesn't mean what it sounds like. And the word give is in the present tense. And that's something that you don't have to give it all the time. You're either going to get it at the judgment seat of Christ, or you're not. It's an event. And if you receive age-lasting life, you're going to rule and reign with Christ. If you disqualify yourself, you're not going to have age-lasting life. That's the issue. Now here, the word give is in the present tense. So it's an ongoing thing. He is giving them age-lasting life. Actually, what he's doing, he is, and this word give is also translated minister and to show. What he is doing is he is ministering truths pertaining to the coming kingdom and the privilege of ruling and reigning with him in that coming kingdom. That's ministering age-lasting life. That's showing them what age-lasting life is. And he did that the whole time he was here, or when he was teaching them. And the Holy Spirit is doing that today for those who will, when they read the Scriptures, will listen to what he will show them. So, sheep are ministered kingdom life, true, or truths pertaining to the coming kingdom. In John 3:16, well, by the way, and they shall never perish. To perish is to lose life in that coming kingdom. That's what it means to lose or to perish. Age-lasting life, that's the word, when the word's part of the term everlasting life or age-lasting life, is a life to be either enjoyed or lost. If you qualify to rule and reign, let me tell you, you're going to enjoy that. You're going to like it. You're going to love it. But if you lose it, you're not going to like that. And your hopes, ambitions to rule and reign with Christ, if you lose it, it perishes. That life is not going to be entered into or experienced. And it's known as perishing. And only those who have life to lose can perish. When it comes to salvation, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You don't have anything to lose. Because you don't have anything to lose. You know where you're going, but the point is this. You would spend eternity in the lake of fire, but the point is this. If you don't have life, you can't lose it. Now, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now here's the word believeth in the present tense. Who is he speaking about in this verse? My sheep are the ones who believe. He is talking to sheep in John 3:16. He's not talking to the lost. In fact, the word world here is a reference to the nation of Israel. The Lord does not love Gentiles. He loves Israel. Period. I mean, there is no, people want to say that, you know, God loves everybody and he hates sin. And they say that, but they don't have any scripture to support that. There's no corroboration in the Old Testament to support that. What you find in the Old Testament, and maybe we'll talk about that next week, is that God loves Israel. He came only to Israel. He excluded Gentiles. If he loved them, why did he cut them out? Why did he cut out the Samaritans? Oh, my, there's two groups he doesn't love. Well, that's not the case. But anyway, let's continue John 3:16. They shall never perish if they continue to believe in the present tense. But if you stop believing in the present tense, you know what happens? You go back. You don't follow him anymore. You're not acting like a sheep anymore. In fact, you've quit believing, and you can do that. Anything you start and continue to do, you can quit. Everybody in this room but me is sitting down. And eventually, you're sitting in the present tense, and eventually you're going to stop that. You're going to get up and leave, hopefully. Anyway, now they shall never perish if they continue to believe in the present tense. And what will keep them from going or from stop believing in the present tense? It's the word have. It's found in the word have. The word have is echo, and it's in the present tense. And I believe that it's better translated when it's a present tense echo is to esteem or regard life of the age. If you have a high esteem of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom, you're going to have all that you need to keep faithful to God. As soon as you lose hope and as soon as you start going back the other way, you're going to forget what you've heard before. Those disciples who quit following Him are going to lose what they had, and they will perish. But if you esteem life for the age, you're going to listen to it. You're going to listen to the Lord and minister it to you all the time. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, a verse that we've looked at before this week, last week, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe in the present tense." Now, what is the word of God? Well, people think that the word of God is the whole Bible. I mean, they just use the term indiscriminately. Well, the Holy Spirit defined the Word of God as the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. That's what the Word of God is. Now, I know what they mean when they talk about the Word of God, and I don't argue with them, anyone, about that. But the point is this, if you're studying Scriptures, then you need to appreciate the fact that the Word of God effectually works in those that are believing in the present tense, who are sheep. It's going to motivate them to continue to be faithful to God and to the Lord. Because the Word of God speaks about His coming kingdom and ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. And you know what? The Word of God effectually works in those who are believing in the present tense. If you're not believing in the present tense and somebody is preaching the Word of God, you know what it's doing? It's going right over your head. Right over your head. And that's unfortunate, but you know what? If it goes over your head and you don't get it because you're not a sheep, then it's better for you to have not to have known it than to know it and not do anything with it. Because you know what? You can be beaten with many stripes if you know the truth and you don't prepare yourself for the day when you stand before the Lord. Now, you know what? I even put it in the notes, the definition of the Word of God. It's right down there. It's called Luke 8, 10, and 11. "And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now, what this is a parable of the sower, and the sower is sowing the seed, and the seed is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, the Word of God is defined in Luke 8, verses 10 and 11. And the seed is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And in verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. That's the parable of the sower, sowing the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Boy, I love definition verses. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom. And you know what? Those who are believing in the present tense love the Word of God. They want it. They want it. They want it. Now, in John 16, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said something very significant to His disciples. He's with His disciples. He's not with anyone else. In other words, He has already had the Passover. He is headed toward... He may be on His way to the garden. I don't know where He is right now, but I know this. He's talking to them, and He's praying. He prays the Lord's prayers in chapter 17 of John. But here in John 16, 1 and 2, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye may not be offended. What causes people to be offended? Well, they can be offended because of the Word of God. People say, hey, that's heresy. Where did you get that? You can be offended with persecution. And here in verse 2, he says, they'll put you out of the synagogue. Have you ever been in church and expressed your love for the Word of God? Well, if you do it very much, they'll kick you out. I've been there. I've done that. I've been there. I know that. And here he says, they'll kick you out of the synagogue. And that was the only thing they had right then. And they understood that's where Jesus taught, was in the synagogue. And they would they'll put you out. In fact of the matter, they'll even kill you. And saying they were doing God a favor. As if God can't take care of His own chores. Anyway, he says, whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. So, the Lord says, I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to turn around and quit following me. I don't want you to quit hearing me. I don't want you to quit letting me minister to you precious truths concerning the coming kingdom and the age where He will rule and reign and we will rule and reign with Him. Now, to show you that what it means to offend is I included some verses that define this, and that is or hit on it, and that's Luke 8:13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, and this is the parable of the sower, so what are they listening to? When they hear the Word of God, they receive the mysteries of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, with joy. Wow, this is good stuff. And these have no root. You know what happens? They don't study it so that they can nail it down. This is the reason why I believe it. You know, 1, 2, 3. No root. They don't establish themselves. They just think it's wonderful. Hey, this makes sense. And what happens is that they begin to believe in the present tense. Because the word believe in this verse is in the present tense. But the thing that is sad, it's that they believe for a while. The disciples that were believing and following the Lord in John 6, they quit. They quit following Him. They turned around. They left. And they were believing in the present tense for a while, but they couldn't handle all the doctrine. And the time of testing, temptation, testing, they fall away. They're offended. They walk no more with Him. They don't follow Him. They don't listen to Him anymore. Matthew 10 or 13, 21, parable of the sower. It says, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is what? Offended. Jesus says, I'm speaking to you things to keep you from being offended. I'm speaking to you things to keep you from quitting. Because it's easy to quit. If you love the praise of man more than you do the glory of God, you're going to quit. I want the glory of God in this coming kingdom. And I struggle with the praise of men. You know, one of the things that I would love to have is more people. Not that I want to hear them praising me about anything, but you know what I mean. It's that's part of pride, I guess you could say. And we all have a little taste of it. But Paul was ambitious himself, wanting to touch more lives. And I do too. I want to. And I just thank the Lord for the internet, because it really has helped us to touch many lives. But anyway, they can be offended because of the word. Now, back to John 10, verse 29, he says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." Who gave Jesus the sheep? The Father did. Who did the sheep belong to before Jesus got them? To the Father. That's the reason when you read, "He hath begotten us again into a living hope for an inheritance undefiled and fadeth not away," it meant that He had them before, and He gave them to the Lord for a better inheritance, a heavenly inheritance, because that inheritance is reserved in heaven for those that will continue in the faith. You make shipwreck of the faith, that inheritance is gone. That's all there is to it. Now, "which gave them me." I want to pick up on that a little bit. In John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh, present middle, to me, I will in no wise cast out." I'm not going to throw you out. You're not going to be left out when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Okay? He's not going to cast you out of that. If you do what? If you come to me. If you follow me. And this is in the middle voice. You know what the middle voice is saying to us? "That's for myself. I'm doing this for me. I'm coming to the Lord for me." In Luke 13:28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." In other words, if you are coming to the Father, or you're coming to the Lord, He's not going to cast you out. He's not going to thrust you out. You're going to be sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, you probably will be over them, possibly. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I just know that if I qualify, the Lord will put me where I'm supposed to be. That's what happened when I joined the Navy. I didn't worry about where I was supposed to go. I just knew when I needed to be there, and they would tell me where and when to be there. So, and I did it, and I didn't get in trouble. "Jesus hath power to give life," John 17:2, "and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give age-lasting life as to many as he has given him. Now, that's not a very easy verse to understand, but it does say, it does have the subjunctive in it, and to me, that implies it's the possibility of failure. If you can believe in the present tense for a while and quit, there's that possibility of failing to have life for the age. But the Lord has the ability to give life for the age. In John 17:6, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." And who are these? These are those that God hath given to him. And what kind of example do they have? Is that they keep or guard his word. They want to know his word, and they want to contend for the faith. They want to be able to defend themselves. They want to be able to give an answer to those who ask them of the hope. And so, those that you've given me, they guard the word. And by the way, the name that he gave them or manifest to them was the Holy Father. I asked the Lord, I said, "What is your name?" What is your name? Well, verse 11, 17:11, if you look over on the last page, on page 4, He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy name, thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That's the only place that I could figure out what his name was. He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name. And, well, he is our Holy Father. He is a separate. And, but anyway, to keep or guard his word. John 17:9, Jesus, I pray for them. Who's he praying for? He's not praying for the lost. He's praying for the ones believing. He is praying for those whom the Father has given him. He is praying for the sheep. I pray not for the world. He wasn't even praying for Israel. The world here, it has to do with Israel primarily. He says, I don't pray for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for thine, for they are thine. I'm praying for the ones you've given me. And then in verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world. And this, of course, doesn't mean he's not in the world. Actually, what he's saying, I am no longer in Israel. I'm separated now from Israel. I'm on my way to the cross. I'm on my way to the garden. Israel and all my ministry is past. I am now maybe 100 yards from the garden, so to speak. I don't know where he is when he's in chapter 17. Maybe I should find out, but right now I don't know where he was. But the point is this. He says, I'm not in the world. I'm not in Israel. I'm out of Israel right now. But these are in Israel. The apostles are in Israel. You know why I know they were in Israel? Who do you think Peter was talking to when he was preaching in chapter 2 of Acts? Men and brethren, ye house of Israel, they were in Israel. They were persecuted by the Jews. But anyway, they were in Israel. And I come to thee, Holy Father, guard or keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. In other words, he's praying for those that God has given him, that they might be one together. We need to have the same mind, one hope, one spirit, not the Holy Spirit, one spirit of no fear, spirit of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, spirit of faithfulness, the spirit of his Son, where he cried, Abba, Father. We want that same spirit in our life. And you know, he says, I want them to be with me. Those you've given me, I want them to be with me. In John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me before thou lovest me, givest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Whether that's Israel or the terra firma, it doesn't make any difference. The Father has loved him a long time, okay? That's the point. And he wants them to be with him so that they can behold his glory. Now, to be with him, Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. In John 13:8, it says, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou wilt have no part with me. That has to do with confession of sin. That's cleansing. That doesn't have to do with foot washing. If you want to wash each other's feet, that's okay with me. They just don't have any example of foot washing in the Pauline epistles. In other words, after this custom of washing people's feet when they come over to visit. In Minnesota, we don't wash feet here. What we do here is we kick off shoes. Now, if you kick off your shoes, you'll have a part with me. In other words, you won't be dirty in the floor. Well, Anyway, and then in Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "I have a few names in Sardis that which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." In other words, they're not going to perish. That's what it means to blot their name out. It was there. They were believing in the present tense. And they kept on believing in the present tense. And those who turned away and quit following Him, their names are blotted out. They will not rule and reign with Christ because they are not worthy. "And I will confess His name before my Father and before the angels." And of course, Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne." That means to rule and reign. If you're sitting down in the throne room, it means you have authority. You have honor. You have position. What is the purpose of the ministry? That you will esteem life for the age. You need to have a high esteem of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. If you don't, you are not going to be rooted and grounded enough to continue faithfully to the Lord. Father, I just pray that You would help us to allow the ministry of age-lasting life to us. As we read the Scriptures, as we hear the preaching of the Word of God, which pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, pray, Lord, that You would allow, that we would allow You to minister to us this precious truth. We just pray that You'd bless our lives, our walk with You, that we'll keep our garments clean. We're living in a day when there is filth everywhere, corruption, violence. And we just pray that You would help us to be clean, and that we'll stand in Your presence approved and hear well done. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.